What's for dinner? What's for dinner? Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.
Hey.
It's Fat Jew Boy. I don't know.
Hey, Fat Albert.
Exactly.
Hey,
you sure
you
don't want a mic stand? You look so uncomfortable right now.
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to pack a bowl.
I know Allison is literally holding the microphone like,
with my elbow.
With your
fat.
Elbow against your boob while you're taking nugs out.
Elbow blubber.
Elbow blubber. Hey, guys. Hi. Welcome to What's for Dinner, guys. This week it is just Allison and I sitting in the living room slash studio slash living room, however we decided to call it.
Hello, everybody.
Yes, and we're here on a really nice day in Burbank, where we reside, and you know, I wanted to do this right now because there's been some things going on with me personally. And I almost feel like it's the beginning of I hate the term midlife crisis because it's not a crisis. And I
Pants McGee, that's his last name, Poopy Pants McGee. All right, I'm coming to the end of the story. Can I just finish it the way I want to?
Okay, something to shake my life up, you know.
Yep.
You know, like over the past couple of years, my life has kind of fallen into like a routine.
So like, marriage will do to you.
I think it is, honestly, I think it is about a little about marriage.
I know.
Marriage kind of, it does, it puts you in.
Because it relaxes your mind. You don't have to worry about going out and finding anybody you're dating or whatnot. So you have less of a drive because you're like, settle.
Yeah, that's true. But not just in relationships. I mean, that is a huge, huge part of the relaxing feeling because for the longest time I was trying to find my my one, which I did. But career-wise and almost like... just creatively and life has just become has a stagnant feeling about it, you know? Nothing against you or anything. Like you said, we're just in a very relaxed...
I know I'm stagnant.
Thing. You're not... No, you stank. You're not stag.
Yeah.
But the fact that the director said, I am going to make a... I hate using the word bother, but it for lack of a better term, it had been bothering me. And it has to do with my representation, my manager specifically. And he's a great guy, actually a legendary manager in the business. And I'd been with him before when I first moved out to LA, and then I left him after a couple of years. And then I got back to him right around the time you and I started dating. So I've probably been with him about, 3.5 years?
No, 4.5. We met February of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And you were with him, I think, by May of 2009.
Oh, really? Okay, so is that
soon?
I think
so.
So, but I'm being, let's just say between 3.5 and 4 years.
It was really in the beginning of our relationship that you got back with him.
Okay, so about 4 years. And it started like with this very kind of positive, like, yeah, this is going to be great. And it was like, come with this, like, pumping new life into me creatively. And just over the past couple of years, he moved from L.A. I mean, he's a legend in the man, some amazing clients. And he has his money, he has his success, and he still wanted to stay in the business because he loved the business, but he was an older guy, and he wants to kind of enjoy his life outside of L.A., which I don't blame him. If we had the money to not live in L.A. proper, you know, maybe we'd live in a suburb somewhere, and he wanted to go to where he was comfortable, which is back in the Northeast, and he had been living there for about 3 years or so. And it's very hard to have a relationship with your manager that consists of some emails, a phone conversation once every month or two that lasts no more than 20, 25 minutes. You know, it's not what I want in a manager. And I can't fault him, though, because this is what he wants to do. And he doesn't need to be out here. And recently, over the past year, he
began
to do a specific project that I really tried. I really, really tried, and I just couldn't. It's one of those things that as much as I tried, it just didn't click with me. It didn't resonate with me. And finally, I just was like, you know what? I'm stagnant. I'm stale. I need to do something to shake my life up creatively and personally. So today, I did something that I was really worried about, and I was honestly scared to do. But I left him, you know. And we parted on very good terms. It was an amicable thing, you know. He understood.
Flip said, "It wasn't you. It's me. We need to just." I just want to see other people.
You've been seeing other clients. I know this. And it felt very good. And I realized, like, it's this whole thing about, you know that movie that's coming out soon called After Earth?
Yes. It has Will Smith movie.
Will Smith, yeah. It has a great line, which is, danger is real, fear is a choice.
Exactly.
And that is really true, because I don't know what I was afraid of. I don't know what, like, I guess maybe I was worried that he would, that I would be disappointing him. And it's almost like a flashback to me as a kid, like disappointing
a
teacher
figure.
Or a father or something.
Well, that's what he sort of is in this business to you. He's been sort of a father in the business to you this whole time.
And I guess I was just, it was kind of like breaking up with somebody, you know, and it's that worry feel and everything. And, but I did it. And when we hung up, my first reaction, I literally threw my hands in the air and said, I did it. And it wasn't like, I did it, I left this guy. It was, I did it. I faced a fear that I had.
Oh, well, you faced a few more than
well,
just
that's,
those
see,
fears.
That's funny. That's another thing I wanted to kind of go into because, and thanks a lot to Allison, I have been overcoming some, I hate using the word fear, but they've been fears that I've had inherently in me since I was a kid. And one of the major ones is scary movies.
I realized something I want to tell everybody. I realized something when you showed me the Twilight Zone movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Twilight Zone movie, if you haven't seen it, it starts out where there's just a quick makeup scare. There's just a quick, you know, a guy's got a mask. Well, I don't want to ruin the movie.
Well, no, it's just it's Albert Brooks and Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, if nobody's seen this movie from 30 years ago, it's...
Wasn't 30 years
I don't know how long it works. But anyways...
27.
give or take a few.
Early to mid-80s.
But basically, yeah, just there's this, and I remember he was telling me as the part was getting ready to come up, he goes, and I love scary movies, I'd like to preface, but as we're getting closer to this one little, like I said, a makeup scare, it was just a mask on a man, he was really kind of building it up, and I remember he was saying that I'd seen the movie when I was a kid, and it's always freaked me out, and sure enough, when that part came on, his gut reaction was to still be scared of it. And I looked at this thing and it was, I mean, if you've seen it, it is literally the most non-scary any movie could ever make a moment. It's just one guy has like a wolf mask on and then
it gets me. It's, and you know, it's like,
it's the scary,
it's
like
the,
pop
the
out when you have no idea that it's going to happen. Exactly.
Like, wow.
But from seeing that, I realized this isn't a fear that has real grounds. I mean, it's a fear from when he was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I would tell you, baby, that it was something that you just needed to sit down and just watch these things to realize, especially being an actor and making movies, that most of these as an actor should be so recognized as being fake.
I see that, but it's again, and I'm going back to the Twilight Zone thing. It's one of those moments as a kid that it's just so ingrained in me too. It's like a reflex action.
But you've held on to that.
I held on to that way too long.
It's ungrounded. So here was the culmination.
Let me go.
Okay, you
steps.
Do it how you want to do it.
Steps.
You do how you want to do it.
Because,
I'm just excited because
of what happened. Yeah. So so she made me watch this Twilight Zone thing, and I mean this was a couple of years ago, but
you know you were the one that showed me the movie. It was your
no,
movie
no,
that
I know,
liked.
But I literally hit my face, and
I didn't
you were like,
"Say that you said that."
No, no,
I didn't tell them.
That's the thing. I'm owning up to my
pussy.
He
literally held up.
Wait, that's it? No, no, no. Fucking rewind that. You're gonna watch that, and I was like, "No, no," and I had my hand, and you're like, "Take your fucking hand away from your face." So we watched it, and yeah, it was stupid. I'm looking like,
but
okay,
at that moment, you weren't owning it up quite yet. You were like, what I don't like
No, because it's like one of those defense mechanism things, like I don't like scary movies and nothing you could say is going to make me change. I just don't like them, they freak me out and blah blah blah.
Might I add, I love them. Like when I see new scary movies, I want to go see them in the theater and I want to take Flip to see them, and he always says, not in your life, there's just no way, you'll never get me to see a scary movie.
Well, after the Twilight, and it wasn't right after,
no,
but that was kind of like the crack in the ice. That's like that started the little, like the wall that I had between, oh, yeah, like scary movies. I won't watch them. Started a little crack. It's I also think as a comedian too, it's, you need to keep yourself healthy. I was very intrigued by that movie, and there were a couple, because the thing that we realized is that it's the jump moments. It's when something happened, a quick cut with like a music, like
yeah, exactly.
That's what gets me.
when you're not prepared for it.
Yeah, the shock, the scare.
But if you're leading into it, you're not scared at all by anything that leads into it.
It's getting the blood pumping and the oh my god. That it was a brilliant movie, great thriller.
If nobody has seen it, it's John. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what's fun about him.
That's how some people look at it. That's the way you should look at it. I would look at it like, oh my god, I don't want to do it. I don't want to face this fear. But we watched From Hell, and there were a couple of jump moments, but that it was a brilliant movie, great thriller.
If nobody has seen it, it's Johnny Depp, and it's about Jack the Ripper stories, because it's never been proved as to what happened with Jack the Ripper. This is the one that is documented and seems to make the most sense. So it almost is coming from like the truest of the tales of what it could be. So it's really fascinating. Go see it, From Hell.
Very, very good movie. And then I think, and then again, this isn't back to back to back. This was like over the period of months. I think the one after that was Rosemary's Baby.
Oh my God. And if nobody out there has seen Rosemary's Baby, it's from, I think, 69, 68 or 69. Well, the whole thing is with that movie, it is a masterpiece. It's Mia Farrow and it's Ruth Gordon. And I mean, those are like the two main people.
No, what's his name?
John Cassavetes.
John Cassavetes.
And
Satan.
No, there's a few. Well, the whole thing is with that movie is that the whole. Well, I want. Okay, go. I was going to tell them how I put it to you before you were going to see it. Rosemary's Baby. I don't want to tell them each and every movie that you saw and describe each movie. But Rosemary's Baby is, for the hour and 45 minute movie that it is, there is probably only 5 minutes collectively of something that would be considered eerie or scary. Everything else is psychological, and it's even kind of like light and funny and bright. It's just, it's a masterpiece.
But it was being billed as the horror movie and the scary movie.
One of the greatest horror movies ever. Okay?
And that's why I was like, I don't want to do it. Not going to see it.
And I said, you must watch it for Ruth Gordon's performance, because she plays the old lady next door that's fucking hilarious. She's just
up on your mind or whatever, but you have to go up there.
I remember one time this is what finally pushed me over to say, okay, fine, I'll see it. But I saw that, and I had heard about it. I didn't know too much about it, but I'd heard just it's scary, blah, blah, blah. Sat down, watched it, and I'm like, this really isn't scary.
No, not at all.
And it's a really, really well done movie. And again, it's like a thriller.
Yeah, it's a psychological thriller.
And that crack suddenly got bigger in that wall.
Yep.
I'm like, okay. Okay.
I swore for him to please start trusting me when it came to.
I did get called a bad actor in a couple of actions.
But I wouldn't throw him at what these quintessential scary movies are yet. But we had to ease him in.
Ease it in. It's like foreplay.
Yeah.
It's like, here's a little Rosemary Baby.
Hey, Skippy, where'd you come from?
Oh, that's my impression of Skippy. I see.
Okay. He'll be around later.
Probably. So then, after Rosemary's Baby, again, the crack kind of got a little bigger. I don't remember if there was... Oh, no. Then there was a Grudge.
Did you do Psycho before Grudge? I think you did Psycho.
You're right.
Grudge.
I did do Psycho. Psycho's
another. I eased him in, like I said. I wanted to give him
Psycho was another
next
one. Psycho. Alfred Hitchcock. Scary. People fainted. Couldn't go into the movies. And again, Psycho is one of those that you know what the movie is.
Everybody
you know
knows
what
the
ending
is.
Yeah.
But I also told him, look, honey, this was scary by 50 years ago's standard.
Right.
People who had never seen this.
But for someone like me, who's never a fan of horror, always scared of those movies, it doesn't matter when it was made. It's the fact that it's billed as the scary movie and mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched Psycho, and lo and behold, really great movie, very well done, shot
incredible.
Beautifully. Not really scary.
No.
Not really scary.
Not by today's standards.
No.
But as we were getting closer, I knew that all of these movies were not going to be on the scary list. That no matter what, none of them. If you showed me that Twilight Zone was your element of scary, and he only believed that first scene was the scariest of them all, and the rest of it was just thought-provoking, that's what I wanted to give him. The ones that were thought-provoking with like a tiny bit of a scare, just to batten down, like you said, crack the wall a smidge.
So after Psycho, crack got a little bigger.
Must also say, though, that when it comes to regular natural fears that everybody has in their real life movies, I realized that maybe breaking down the wall of the scary movie fear, which is such a small and very inane topic in the scheme of life, that it would wake you up to the idea that you know, you can conquer anything. If you can conquer this fear that's been built up so big and it's really nothing. I mean, it's just movies. It's when you know it's fake. I mean, you make movies.
Right.
So the idea that this would be...
Next, I believe, was The Grudge.
I'm pretty
right?
sure it was The Grudge, which and I don't find to be really the best of them all.
But The Grudge here, the thing is, like, watching Psycho and Rosemary's Baby, those were, like you said, done in the 50s and 60s. Grudge is a very new, and it's based on Japanese, and we all know how fucked up their movies are. And,
yes.
Oh, please, and also Bukkake and snuff films. I've seen enough to know that the Japanese...
The Japanese are nuts. Yeah.
They're nuts. I've actually auditioned for a few snuff films. There were some scary moments in there. There were some scary moments. Maybe not for you, but for me. But I watched it.
Yes.
And that was the important thing. Then that crack started getting bigger and bigger.
That's a ghost story. I figured that getting ghostlier would get you along the lines of more of what is today's standards of scary.
Right. And... It's weird because, like, after The Grudge and also when I was a kid, God, I had such an imagination that I was it carried on to my adulthood that these images and these stories are going to give me nightmares and blah 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 blah. Because you know why? I'll tell you why. Little side note into my early childhood psyche. Two moments I remember distinctly that turned me off to scary movies. One, Jaws.
Jaws.
When I was a kid. Saw Jaws 1. I'd actually seen Jaws 3 in the theaters. That's the first time I think I saw a Jaws film.
And thing that I can do,
It was a very natural approach to one on TV. And when I was a kid, I would always relate to kids in movies, whether it was something like E.T. or Explorers.
Yeah, because you were a kid. You understood what it was like to be a kid.
Yeah, and I could relate to kids. In Jaws, there's a scene where a boy, gets eaten by the shark on a raft. And I remember I saw that. And I remember seeing the blood and the kid drowning and the tails and people going, oh, my God. And that freaked me out about Oceans.
Of course.
And it freaked me out about that movie.
Well, it freaked everybody out about Oceans because this was a real thing. You
right.
knew
well,
that there were real
they're
sharks.
Real monsters out there, right. But I could not, like, if Jaws was ever on, I could watch it, but not that scene.
Yeah.
And
well, because nothing else is scary but that scene.
Well, no, there's scary moments in that. They're
well, towards the end, but like in the big, it's just execution of the characters.
Right. Well, it was Spielberg doing the shooting, but I mean, like, you know, the funny idea for a video
that
series,
would be great.
Just like explaining what different things do to in my apartment in Culver City. I think Jaws was on, or I had the DVD of it, and that scene was coming up, and I went, "No, I'm gonna fucking watch this," and I watched that scene, and it was like, oh. As a kid, I could see why that freaked me out, but as an adult, I'm like, it's not really as gory and scary as I remembered it.
And you know for a fact that it's a machine and
it's a
corn syrup
kid and
whatever. Yeah,
it's a machine and whatever, and the kid's fine. That was one of the movies. As the other movie, or the other moment as a kid, was when...
Like, you know, a priest with a kid sitting on his lap, you know.
See, I watched the old ones.
No, this was the newer, the revamped ones.
Oh, okay.
And there was this one that I remember about this woman. Long story short, she ends up getting buried alive. And it ends with her just screaming in the coffin and it backing away. And I remember that gave me nightmares. And then I tried to watch another episode like a month later. And it was the same kind of thing. It was like the scary story, and it ended with a guy about to get chopped up by a chainsaw because everybody thought he was dead, and he was just paralyzed. He couldn't move. And these two images stuck in my head as a kid gave me nightmares, which is why I was always like, no, scary movies will give me nightmares. I don't want to watch them. I don't want to watch them. And then back to The Grudge, we watched that. Didn't have any – even though it was a newer movie, it wasn't Psycho or the Rosemary's Baby. It was a newer movie with more modern effects.
That'd be great.
Any other ones that you guys came up with?
Said movies, but I knew that it wasn't also considered. It had enough scary parts where we could get you to a new level,
right?
And but I mean, I still have to say that it was difficult. That moment happened. The Grudge happened, and a year went by, and I couldn't get him to watch anything
couldn't
else.
Couldn't get it. It was one of those, like, I was almost thinking to myself, no, I watched a scary movie. I don't have to watch it anymore, because there was still that kind of fear in me, because I knew there were other scary movies you wanted me to watch, and I just, like, I don't want to go there.
And I tried to say, you don't realize, though, especially if you're a person who is recording, which that's the other cool thing, when you're doing a voiceover audition, they record the entire audition to use as the actual material.
Fear. Again, I'm sure people who are listening now, I mean, I'm sure you guys have had fears in you that were instilled in you as a kid that takes, it takes a lot to get over that.
Yeah.
Because as an adult, you have a more rational mind. And when something comes in your life as an adult that scares you, you can rationalize and go, okay, you know what? This is just, like the thing with my manager, this is just something I'm making fear. Yeah. I can early seeds of fear as a kid, like even facing a childhood bully. Or your first heartbreak, going up to this person that you haven't seen in years who broke your heart.
Yeah.
It's like that, like, oh my God, I'm a teenager again, even though I'm almost 40, you know? So it's those early seeds of fear that really grow into the stranglehold against you, you know?
See, it's like the things that you were fearing were very, like, if you see that those two things you were talking about, a shark.
Thing, oh, I was, yeah, it's it had the worst. The headache, just that. And the last thing I wanted to do was get up there.
It's awful.
And the most amazing thing happens.
So, nice one.
Thank
the
you.
Idea that then the other one would be being kind of paralyzed and being stuck in your brain, like almost comatose, and being a cognizant of what you're doing and not letting being able to let people know, you know, not to that you're not dead. You know, like that's another kind of like a cycle. That's what you were just talking about with the, you know, this guy was going to get chopped up, but he was paralyzed and he couldn't tell him. That he could feel it?
Yeah. It's like me. I guess it was that fear of being like trapped.
Trapped. Yeah. Yeah, it's a trap. So those are more of like a psychological fear of things in your surrounding and things that you know of life.
Yeah, but also as a kid, it's that imagery and that music and that idea.
Well, that they're there specifically to make you feel things. And that's why I tried to say, you know, you can either choose to take it as fear or you can choose to take it as a ride, because what it's trying to provide you is a little bit of, like you said, that roller coaster effect where you go, oh, scared, and then you go, oh, okay, it's not real. I know that this is a movie.
Right.
Now,
since the...
was time.
But after a year, I was like, I don't want to watch anymore. I've done it, blah, blah, blah. But Allison had been persisting and persisting.
I realized it was something that needed to help him with.
Yeah.
Because this was a silly fear.
It really is. It's like, again, and this goes back to my original thought, which is stagnancy, which is complacency, which is boredom.
Yeah, switch it up, man.
It's like, if anything, conquering fears makes life more interesting at the very least.
That's why they're given to you. They're given to you, I believe, truthfully, and from everybody that's been listening to the way I think, it's been given to us, all of us, to look at and conquer. We're not supposed to hide from fear.
Right.
We're supposed to give it love, and by giving it love, we are conquering it, and the love would be the...
Usually the first thing that comes up, if you put it on YouTube, it was one of these rooftop videos of me doing this End of the World song at Go Banana.
Had The Exorcist, and she brought it home. She says, we're fucking watching this.
That was his absolute pinnacle of never to be watched list. Like, that was the one, because as everybody knows, it's rated the scariest of
all time. And to, you know, and here's the funny part. This is what I find most ironic when I look back at it. I have seen a few documentaries about the movie.
Of course.
I knew all the backstory. Yep. I knew about the special effects. Mm-hmm. I knew about, like, oh, it's a pea soup, and she's possessed by the devil, and there's the priest, and blah, 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 and she curses and masturbates with the crucifix. All of this shit I knew, yet I didn't want to watch it, because I'm like, as much as I know all the secrets and the moments, it's sitting down and watching it that I was like, oh, I don't want to do it. I can't do it. And she came
and
by.
I said, do you realize I watched this as a teenager? And yeah, there was a couple of little scary parts. You know, it says like strike up a conversation in an elevator when you're in an elevator with somebody. I literally, you walk into an elevator and I see somebody, you give that teen in particular that couldn't be got, they needed to use wires and they couldn't like get the wire look out of the film in the 70s. But upon coming back in the 90s, they were able to re-release it. So as a teenager, I was able to see the original and the re-released. The original was not scary to me at all. And the how are you today? Look you dead in the eyes. Respond to me. And they're usually so like caught off guard that they do almost like a double take. And it has to do with Staircase.
So
I said you must watch this. It is scary by only people in the 70s standards. It had never been done before. It was a religious country at the time. The idea of a little girl being possessed by the devil. Being possessed by the devil. I said Dable. Being possessed by the devil.
Hello, I'm Dable. I'm in you. Hello.
I have a little schmear and locks for the Dable. So the... the idea that she's possessed was just too much for audiences to take. And I told him that there is probably 15 minutes worth of scary in that entire movie, and you've already seen it if you've seen the backstories. No matter what, you've seen it.
So one day I was like, she came home, and I think it was a day or two of her going, come on, come on. And I went, all right, let's do this. My only caveat was we got to watch it during the day. It can't be
with all the blinds open.
With the blinds open, that was my thing. Like, I need to know that I could look outside and see the daylight.
Yeah.
Whatever. It was what I needed, but I watched it. And number one, it was not scary at all.
At all.
Maybe because I knew the moments or whatever, but I think even if I didn't know the moments, by today's standards, it just was not really scary. Mm-hmm. And I guess, and like I said, the religious aspect, I could see how that could shock people in the 70s, but I'm not a religious person, not a Catholic. And those moments, I was like, I was like, oh, this is it?
You had no connection to it.
No connection, right. But the thing that I was not expecting, and I guess because whenever you watch these behind-the-scenes things, it always focuses on the horror and the possession. The whole build-up to it was a really well-done, again, psychological thriller. It's like it's this very brilliant, slow burn to the possession. Yep. And I had no idea about that, and I was drawn in immediately.
Yeah.
And then when the possession started, it kind of became like, oh, well, this feels right. You know, it's
whatever. I'm just like, I'd rather that's not there. But since people
me, if like he, there would be a jumpy point, and at the beginning, you did try to cover your face.
Yeah.
And I said, no, please, you must watch it. It's not. You're gonna know when something's gonna happen because the music's gonna change. It's gonna build up to it.
Right.
There's, and I said there might even be just like two shock moments. I'd forgotten. There weren't any.
No. It was a really, really great movie.
Yeah.
And I remember we got done, and I'm just sitting there going, and I was letting it sink in, like, I just watched The Exorcist. Me. I just watched it, and I wasn't scared.
Mm-mm.
And I would watch it again.
And that's what I promised.
What did I say when it was over?
Well, I guess I'll watch The Ring now.
Boom.
Which The Ring, I'm a scary movie lover. And maybe initially when I first saw The Ring, it was kind of like, holy shit, what's going to happen? As I think it is with all scary movies. But once you see them, you know what's going to happen. And then forevermore, you're never scared.
What?
People aren't liking it. And I'm like, it was one show that I did.
Scary movies, loves, shock movies and everything. And I remember when The Ring came out, he'd seen it in the theaters. And I think I saw him just after the movie was over. We met outside the theater. And he goes, Flipper, fuck The Ring, man. Scare the shit out of me. And when he said that, I was like, well, if he scared the shit out of him, there's no way I could ever see it.
But now think, that was 10 years ago that it came out, or whenever it was that it came out. So the idea that...
But to me, it's still like a modern day kind of...
It is.
Like,
and
horror,
it's
movie.
A new twist. Like, it's got a new idea. It's not just a normal ghost story.
Right.
So the idea
and
that
all,
he
and
was so excited to just jump right in.
And with all fairness, I had seen Scary Movie 3, which spoofed it, so I kind of knew what the kind of plot and twist was, but that I really didn't know that much about it.
Yeah.
So we watched that movie, and there were a couple of...
Yeah, it's like, have you seen Henry Phillips? Gay. So, yeah, the guy took it down.
Mm-hmm. Years. And even and today, when I just did what I had to do with my manager, I really feel like I am crossing a threshold into a new part of me, you know?
Absolutely.
And it's like,
oh, I love hearing that.
Yeah, it really feels like I'm shaking my life up and I'm growing. And again, I don't want to say midlife crisis, because it's not a crisis. It's a midlife. It's a turning point.
It's a turning point, because I think you
I'm not on my shows anymore.
Nobody thinks there's nobody that everybody thinks is funny. There's some
Absolutely.
People that come close, but
and act out and live this fantasy I've had since I was a kid.
But problem with when you're too childlike is that fear, because children usually do have more fear. Well, this is a scary freaking world that they've put across to us, so
right.
They keep us in fear. But at the same time, what if you hold on to that? And that's when I realized, like I said, back to the Twilight Zone thing. Right when he said this was how he felt as a kid, I went, oh, That's it. He's holding on to the shit. It's not that he doesn't like scary movies today. It's that he made that decision when he was a kid, and he never just let himself grow from it.
Right.
And that's why I said it's such a silly topic. Scary movies, cool. You don't like scary movies, but if you have other fears in your life that are way bigger, big fears, and you're holding on to something like that, that's just an easy way to show you that you can overcome anything. And I am so proud of you. I mean, like, it sounds so silly, but the minute we were done with The Exorcist, I went, babe. Milestone. Like, mm-hmm. I'm so proud that something.
You hate Tom Waits or hate the Rolling Stones, you know, or hate Aerosmith.
You didn't even want to let me in to do it. And now you've seen it. And now you've allowed to just see it a whole other way to watch a movie. Comedy provides you a feeling. Romantics provide you a feeling. Adventure provides you a feeling. And scary provides you a feeling.
Yeah.
It's fun to play with those feelings. And to let, instead of it take. Like a fear towards it. What I realize is that with these movies, like, okay, if you're obsessed with watching killer movies, okay, then you might become obsessed. And you know, if anybody's been listening to the show, my line of thinking is whatever you think a lot about, you're going to start to will towards yourself.
Right.
So if you watch these movies and you think about it with fear constantly, then you will perpetuate that in your life, as opposed to watching these movies and putting love towards it in any sense of the way. Like, yes. instead of going, oh, I'm scared of a ghost, I go, I love the other side of the veil.
I love ghosts.
Exactly. Which I love the other side of the veil.
Which and is why we're going to watch Casper tonight.
If they ever come and talk to me, I want to have a sweet conversation, and I'm willing a nice ghost, not a bad ghost.
Well, I think that, again.
I can't say not. I have to say, I'm willing only good ghosts.
Wee. Well, this with this milestone, and also this show's a milestone right now, because I meant to mention this at the top of the show. This is our 60th episode.
Wow, we're officially able to go buy senior citizen
AARP.
Breakfast.
We can go to Denny's and get a discount. So this is episode 60, and I think it's kind of a.
When have I ever had a fear of anal?
Never, which is why I love you so much. A milestone of its own. But as far as conquering fears, I think you now need to conquer some of your fears.
Which are?
Anal.
When have I ever had a fear of anal?
Never, which is why I love you so much. No, what are your fears? Now, what is something, honestly, that you fear or that you're nervous about? Like, I know one,
what?
And we've kind of talked about this. This is more of a professional thing.
I heard this one up. Sorry about that. And then it's just
one that you're starting to get over, which I'm very proud of you, which is doing more talky jokes. You've been writing more talky jokes
and original songs.
Well, the original songs.
I used to say can't.
You have a couple of ideas for original songs, but have yet to make it happen.
I can't make fun of him because he's making fun of himself.
Yeah,
I'm done.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like
my job's done
to the
here.
Punch almost.
Well, believe me. That's why I picked it up just before and I started.
That is true.
Writing
she
the
was
song for. My new
the new idea.
My new idea, yeah.
But within what's today? Today is May 27th,
mm-hmm.
2013.
Mm-hmm.
By July 27th, 2 months, I want you to have two original songs that you have been
perform.
That you perform.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I
so
will do
July 27th
on the show.
Yes. Within 2 months, Allison will premiere.
Sports bar across the street, and they were sitting there getting drunk at one point.
My I don't want to say the what's for dinner crew because that sounds too much like Marc Maron. I'm gonna call you the dinners. I don't know. The listeners, the friends of the show. 2 months, Allison is premiering on this show.
And no shit, buddy. Right? You don't hear anybody laughing, do you? Thanks.
I did do it one time. And
one time.
I didn't have too terrible of a
but
set.
But you haven't done it since.
I know.
It's like me watching Rosemary's Baby and then waiting a year to watch The Exorcist.
But I know, but I really do think, though, that I am over that fear. It's just a matter of now, and I have been the last three shows. Well, I mean, El Paso is one of the places, but the last like three major places that I've played at, I have tried my new talking jokes. And once I put those together with some other new ideas that I'm thinking about working on in different open mics around town, then I will put this set on stage. I mean, it'll probably be like a 7-minute set, so.
But you got to do it.
That fear is in the process
and I'm
of
putting,
passing.
And I'm putting the gauntlet down in a month.
As I know, you're probably right on wrap up. just from a musical. Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm throwing gauntlets down.
That's wonderful. All of these things will be done.
Good.
And
now, personal fears of yours. Do you have any, like, personal fears?
That's
I know
what
of
I was
one, but I'm
to
not
going to
talk about it on public.
No. What?
I'm not going to talk about it on. I'm not going to even mention it. I'll tell you after the air.
Okay.
Because trust me, if I mention it, and I know you'll kind of give me a look like, what the fuck are you doing? Because you don't expect me to say it. You're very curious now.
No, I'm very curious. Okay, well, personal fears of things and situations. You know, it's funny. I was trying out for a game show recently, and they always ask you, I mean, literally a booklet of questions just about yourself, and they always love it if you talk a lot. And so I'm always very elaborate, but when it came to asking me what my fears were, I literally couldn't think of anything. I mean, if we're going to get realistic, I mean, who doesn't have a fear if they get too far out into the ocean to get nibbled on by some sort of a creature? You know what I'm saying?
Nibbled? Like a great white's going to come by.
I'm just going to taste you.
I just taste.
No, but so the idea that, you know, or like if I'm in the woods that a bear, but do I sit and think of these as fears? Like if I think that like if I go
okay,
out in the ocean,
I'm
going to
throw a couple of standard fears.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to say the one thing that I think that I can honestly tell you, all I was trying to say and give you an idea of is that we all have that sort of fear, except I'm not thinking of that fear all the time. It's not like I have a fear of spiders or a fear of sharks or a fear of this so that it will stop me from doing things. I will go out into the ocean and I will not think of a shark for 1 second. But you better believe if I, by accident, you know, got caught in the undertow and waved, you know, like got out into the middle of the ocean, I don't think I would sit there and not fear getting eaten by a shark. Do you know what I'm saying? If I'm in the woods and I get lost, I'm not going to be thinking that I'm going to see a bear. But, I mean, if I literally do not know where I am and I'm starting to get worried to find my way back home, yeah, I might be fearful that I might get attacked by some sort of an animal if I'm off the beaten path. So all of those things can be fears eventually.
But those are hypothetical situational fears.
Exactly. My...
like I
this isn't a fear of mine, but I always would like a person that I come into contact with or I connect with to have a good experience with me. I think I've realized I used to say I always want people to like the guitar that I will do everything I can to make a person like me because I wanted to be on good terms with people, I guess. But as it is today, I realize it's not about them liking me. It's about I don't want to upset a person. I want to always have a person come away hopefully slightly enriched, like I hope to come away from them slightly enriched. Not even enriched. Enriched is the wrong word. It's almost more like I want to connect in a happy sense with a person, in a loving sense with a person.
I know what you're saying, but I don't think that could really be considered a fear.
Exactly. I don't know what I fear. That's the only thing that I worry about. If I go out and about, I always, if a person seems to be curt with me, and I know that it's not even direct how I would write an original song.
Well, and that's not too far off. And also, I used to do I used to play on the patch.
Just does not like me. And I do all that I can to like try to soften the things about myself that might annoy them when I'm around them or whatever so that they can be. And I will say that I have in two very distinctive situations, maybe even three distinctive situations, have turned a person who I know for a fact hated me into my friend, like my actual
friend.
But
again, these aren't fears. These are worries. These are personal things.
I have no fear then.
I'm going to throw some fears at you, and you tell me if they affect you.
Okay.
Okay. Heights.
No.
You could be in...
Looking over the edge of a building, like the Empire State Building, and I'm fine.
Okay. Dark alleys.
No.
Sort of sounding
melody
kind song.
And when you put a GC that is dark, I'm not going to stop myself from walking through it. But if I'm in New York City where I've never been... I mean, I have been, but like, you know, I'm not familiar with, and I see a dark alley and I'm not sure if it's a good neighborhood or a bad neighborhood. And I don't know if there's like particular, you know, muggings that might happen in that situation, then I won't do it. But the dark alley itself does not scare me.
I was going to say driving fast, but I know that doesn't scare you.
No. Nice.
I'm trying to think of some other standard fears. Fear of failure.
No. Because as far as I'm concerned, everything that I do, as long as I'm giving love to the world, is a success.
Fear of intimacy.
No, because Jesus Christ, I write songs about sex.
Fear of the boogeyman?
I don't believe that there's a specific boogeyman. I believe that there are evil entities out there.
Fear of ghosts.
No, because I know that where what I'm willing to myself are loving and good
fear
other veil things.
Fear of reptile people.
No, I'm curious about reptile people. I'm like I'm dying to see one. But I think I have.
Look
I mean,
me.
John Rockefeller, David Rockefeller. Oh, Flip's trying to pretend like he's some sort of lizard. You do look a little lizardy.
Do I?
A little bit lizardy.
I got my lizard tongue. Did you actually hear?
In sentences that everybody says, where is the bathroom? And then eventually we just take the where is part and add something else.
So gross when I actually hear that in headphones.
Yeah, it does.
Wow.
That's what it sounds like. Fafa beans. Fafa beans.
Hello, Clary.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
So now I'm curious if we could find a fear in me because
fear.
I mean, I love life and really things.
When you were a kid, did you have any like big fears?
I love the dark and like, you know, I did.
So the dark
actually,
doesn't
I remember.
Get you anymore?
No, not
Let's
at all.
Let's say, okay, I'm putting you in a pitch black room.
Nope.
Back in Anchorage, in the room that I stayed in without any windows.
No.
It was pitch black.
No.
Could you?
I'd be fine. You know what? It's funny. Like, as a kid, it was fear of the unknown. And I think that since over the last few years, I mean, I got over the dark thing, you know, as I got to be a little bit more of an adult because I realized, okay, I don't have to be fearful of what's in my room. You know, it's a dark room. I friggin' just got to be careful not to trip on anything. But the idea that, you know, as I got older, the fear of the unknown, I wasn't fearful of the unknown anymore. The unknown to me was inspiring and amazing and magical. And the things that I've been learning about what is unknown to me at this point is, I mean, I feel I'm becoming more, it's becoming more known to me to a certain degree. So I don't fear it anymore. And
so
I think
you fear
important.
Nothing. You're daredevil.
I mean,
you're the woman with no fear.
I can always envision myself, you know, like I would have to get my body up to speed to do some fear, you know, fearless things that I'd love
there
to do.
I do remember one thing on the airplane with the lightning.
Oh, well, okay. Lightning struck the wing
of
the plane. I happened to be in the window seat as I, or actually
no,
I was in the middle seat.
I was in the window seat. I saw
Nuh-uh.
It happen. Yeah.
You weren't in the window. No,
yes,
no, you
I was.
Never, you never have a window seat above
no,
me.
No, I had the window seat.
No.
Yes, I did.
What, did I like give it to you that one time? You like the aisle 100 times more.
But we didn't have the aisle, and I think you had the window going to, this was from Alaska back to Seattle or Seattle to L.A., one of those.
And you wanted to just see the view of it or something, maybe it was?
Yeah, I think you had the window one time, and
normally
then you let me
he never wants the window because he squishes into it. He doesn't, you're like,
no, it has nothing to do with that. If I would rather have the window than the middle, I just usually give you the window.
No, you always want the aisle because you have the leg room. That's what you
told
me. Well,
no, between the two, yeah. But in this situation, the aisle was taken by somebody else, so it was window or a middle.
In either regard.
Whatever.
There's a flash of light at the end. How I think would be the opening is incredibly close. I mean, if lightning and thunder happen at the same time, it means that lightning's right there. So the idea that it all crash boomed at the same time and it hit the wing that we were able to see.
I saw this. Fucking, it looked like an explosion on the wing.
Yeah.
And immediately, I think I grabbed your hand and I just had this thought like, this plane's about to crash.
I went, and I screamed as loud as I could. I went, what the fuck?
No, you didn't scream. You literally, you went like this. You went, what the fuck was that?
That's
like
right.
That.
What the fuck was that? And then, like, there was children around, there's parents, but it didn't matter. Everybody kind of, like, laughed that I said that.
And, no, the great thing is you then went, I'm sorry. And I'm thinking, no, that's the right response. It's just go, what the fuck was that when lightning hits the plane?
And, but here's the thing. Sure, I was fearful in that exact moment because, holy crap, you see the plane get hit by lightning. You don't know that that's something normal that's able to happen. They didn't even tell us for the first 10 minutes.
That's
then they
true.
Finally
yeah.
get on the intercom and they go, so, guys, we got a little light show back there. Lightning hits the wing, and we have a way to stabilize it or whatever. Yeah. Like they have.
He's
a...
like, we didn't get back to you sooner. We're kind of busy up here trying to keep the plane up or steer the plane or something. But yeah, that was one
of the... That's pretty normal. But I mean, wouldn't anybody react with a little bit of fear from that? I didn't have a fear that that would happen. That would be different. Like, it's not a preemptive fear. It's like you become worried, like a scary movie. When you don't know what's going on, you go, what the hell? And then I get to calm down and whatnot. But no, I really, like, now here's something that I have not been privy to. In my mind, I imagine myself being able to do this without fear, okay? But I have never stood on the edge of a cliff getting ready to jump into water, okay? That, to me, might be something that upon there, I might go, wow, I got to actually take myself over. I've got to jump. I've got to jump and do it.
Would you bungee jump?
You know why I wouldn't? I used to want to. Why I wouldn't? Because of my particular back situation. I don't need a snap back.
Again, we go back to anal. Your back situation, never mind.
Anywho. I was like, what the hell is that even talking about? No, the idea that it's, you know, holding on to any part of my body, either by the chest or by the feet, which is usually by the feet, to be going down and then have something, even if it's an elastic cord and it provides you a little bit of slack, I don't need a actual snapback of my entire body, which is another thing of why, and I don't want to take myself away from these opportunities, but why I might not want to jump from a very high height into water. Like, just talking about it with neighbors that we might, you know, go
like cliff
to a cliff diving place. Yeah, which sounds awesome. I mean, I want to do it. I would love to do it. Actually, Adam from my work used to do it all the time.
You know,
depending on how you land, it can be an ouchie. But that's the thing. I don't want to do it wrong the first time and have an ouchie and then
you describe falling from a cliff as an ouchie.
Well, because I don't
Alice
learned that song, it just expanded.
Well, I don't want to like say what will happen because I didn't want there to be a problem. If I say ouchie, it could mean like I just got a tiny slap bruise from hitting the water as opposed to like breaking a something at the high velocity. I don't know. But see, everybody that does it, they do it well and they keep doing it. So that's sort of like the thing that I go on is that I will be fearless and not tell myself that I can't do it, but instead tell myself that I can do it. And maybe I might find something that I truly love. That's like my mode about everything. I'm just not going to do anything too stupid with my body, like bungee jump.
Well, speaking of doing things to your body.
There's a lot of really nice.
What? Wait, Allison's mouthing something to me. What? Wait, hold on.
So
I muted you. Would it? Oh, my God. Of course.
It's some ridiculous, like, to read.
Has a huge thing that's happening right now. Absolutely. And this is something I definitely want to talk about. Allison, for those who don't know, if you have been listening to past shows, Allison has been building up to something huge. And this past weekend, this huge thing happened. Allison, do you want to tell our wonderful group of friends what happened?
The movie came out.
The movie came out.
And not only did it come out, but it's got McDonald's toys and it's got billboards everywhere and it's number 4 at the box office. This is a huge movie.
Huge. Like, I meant to tell you.
Thank you so much for asking me, darling husband, about the movie. So I don't really know who I was. I went twice. I'm the flower kid, which has been unfortunately confused as sort of a bigger meatier flower kid role that's been going on. And I don't want to let it go of what the character is for anybody who wants to go see it. But just know that if there is a flower kid that you kind of consistently see throughout the movie and has a few lines,
well, I think
that's not me.
Yeah, I think you could say there's a character in the movie
with a mother character. And the mother has a conversation with her at the beginning, as well as you see this character throughout the movie a few different times.
Right.
That is not me. I just want to preface that because mom was a little excited. Uncle and aunt were a little excited. Friend was a little excited that was me. And unfortunately,
because you are listed as
a flower kid.
Yes, but I think you pretty much had it hummed out.
Because, you know, you're listening. You're trying to watch the movie and I'm listening. I didn't want to be a pest and ask the casting department when I first got the role what my line was. I mean, it seemed like it was busy and maybe just very ancillary that this happened, so I didn't want it to, you know, pester and make them go look things up. So I just figured I'll listen for it and I'll try to figure out who I am. And the first voice that could have been a flower kid. I couldn't remember if I said the line, and I couldn't recognize, it was sort of a quick line, if it was my voice. So I figured, oh, let me just keep listening. Maybe there's another character will come by the end. Mm-hmm. Well, when the end came and there wasn't any other character, I thought, okay, maybe it's this one little flower thing that I saw, or maybe this other flower thing. But upon watching it back through, I saw that there's literally only one other character.
It is now time for a little part of the show called The Skippy Green.
Just let everybody know if they do go and see it. It's towards the beginning of the movie.
When you go and see it.
When you go and see it. Yay! It's really fun. See it in 3D because it makes it 100 times more beautiful. It's very beautiful
in 2D. Before you get off that, what was the character now?
The character.
Toward the beginning of the film.
Towards the beginning of the film, there is a parade that happens. And there's like a little flower people all kind of scurrying to watch the parade that happens. And during the beginning, there's a little flower person that says, oh, the leaf men, or something to the effect of, wow, it's the leaf men, something, it's the leaf men. And I think I figured out that that's me.
That's great.
And I have to double check back through. I'd like to kind of find way or another.
Since you say it's like amazing in 3D, and you and I saw it in 2D, and then you saw it in 3D today.
Yeah.
I'm going to go one more time and see it in 3D, so
we'll
go together.
We'll watch it together, and then I'll definitely listen for that part and try to decipher. The person I went with today did say,
for a second.
I could tell.
All right, so now it's time for a little...
like me,
now,
so...
The cool thing, though, that we both saw when we saw it in the theater was your name in the credits.
And it's alphabetical order. Let me just say that when they start listing the voice cast and they say it's in alphabetical order, they have everybody that has a name or a descriptive name, like a flower kid or a marigold girl or a...
Which
the little girl was.
Right.
Or, thistle lady. They have another... You know, they have berry lady. They have people that are... And that's their names. So the idea that at the very end... There was a group of the voice cast with these kind of names, and then a group to follow it in a new category called additional voices. And there was like 35 people, additional voices, nondescript. But I was in the main voice cast to be immediately followed in alphabetical order. Amanda Seyfried, Jason Sudeikis, Steven Tyler, Christoph Waltz, Allison Weber.
It was so cool seeing your name up there. Like, when we saw it, I think you were...
Do you know, it did say Tom Wilson.
The old cunt clone.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, you know, I happened to notice. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was immediately to follow Christoph Waltz. I'm sorry, what were you starting to say?
No, I was just going to say, when we saw that in the theaters, like, I was so excited for it. Because it's like, you're my wife, you're Allison, you're Allie, you know? And then seeing this film, and even at the time, not sure what voice you were when we first saw it the first time, but then seeing your credit up there, I think I like started hitting you in the leg, going, oh my God, it's fucking you.
I kept trying to take pictures, and he's hitting me in the leg, and
oh my
like,
God, you did something illegal.
Oh, wait, I mean, I didn't do anything. What do you mean?
You're taking pictures of me hitting you in the leg, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was trying to take a picture of him hitting me in the leg, but he hit me so hard, I got a blurry picture of him.
You got a blurry picture of me hitting you in the leg.
Exactly.
Oh, no, I am so proud of you, honey.
Thanks,
I really am.
Babe. I'm really, truly, like, I have had a hard time talking, but as another reason why on the shows, I don't want, when it comes to acting. I've quickly, why? Because I want, gosh, everybody kind of said, like, all of my friends were like, wow, you knew this for months and none of us knew? How come you didn't mention it on Facebook? And I mentioned it on Facebook at about the 2-week mark, just to kind of promote the movie as well. But this sort of fell in my lap. For anybody out there that knows, I'm a baby in the comedy industry, but I haven't done anything professional when it comes to acting. I've been an extra in a few things. I've, you know, done a few student films. I've done a few acting things, but nothing has been...
That whole day, I didn't think anybody should.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wear a shirt that says blonde...
Got the audition, and then it fell in my lap that I actually got the role. It was so much magic, and I really, truly believe if anybody's listening to the show, when you are a lover of the universe and a lover of things, the universe just gives to you things. And when I told you that, ironically, I'd been on the set of The Simpsons, I'd been on the table read of The Simpsons on the same lot, and then a year later, almost to the day that I got this audition, I feel that I put out that love, and that's why I got this. But the fact that I actually got the role, it was hard for me to tell people, especially out here in Los Angeles, where everybody works as hard as they can to get even an audition like this. It just fell in my lap. I didn't want to look the universe gift horse in the mouth.
That happens. There are countless stories of people who've been in the right place at the right time and got discovered doing this or that or that. It's an LA thing that still sometimes happens, but you're such a wonderfully bright light kind of person that of course good things are going to happen for you, baby.
I'm in shock.
Don't be in shock. Enjoy it.
It's amazing. And I love you guys. And thank you for letting me talk about it. And I'm done for the next month until the next thing I'll talk about.
Well, I'm again very proud of you, honey. And we're going to close the show out right now. Want to do it?
I think there's somebody else that's been wanting to talk to me about my movie role now that I'm a movie person.
I think you're right. I think it is time.
It's my favorite filth pot. My favorite
filth pot.
Filth pot. He's a pot of filth, and I love every.
That's
every,
right.
Every hole on him.
It is time for the Skippy Green Show.
It's the Skippy Green Show.
Why, you filth pot full of pot.
Well, hello, my darling dear.
Hello, you. First of all, I love the way you're sitting right now.
I was sitting like this specifically
for those who
for
don't
you.
Know, she is like literally... Are you ready?
Oh, Skip.
Eagle, and I could see down that filth pot of yours, and it is epic.
Well, I know that you used to be a gynecologist, so I'm in like the
I'm not
old
a,
position.
I wasn't ever a gynecologist.
You just
I was
told
just
me.
A guy who liked to get up your collagist. All right. Are you ready?
Oh, Skippy, I was born ready for you.
All right. You know how this works. I'm going to ask you a question. You got to answer the question. Here's where I talk. Got to answer the question in 10 words exactly. Not 11, not 9. 10 words.
Let's do it.
I'll count for you.
Sweet.
Let me just clear my throat.
Did I leave some of my stuff in there?
Yeah, it was someone I ate. All right. If you could make a movie with either Ron Jeremy.
I gotcha.
And you can get that broad. Mm-hmm. Just not broad. The movie has to be a porn version of a scary movie. Who would it be, and what would the name of the porn version of the scary movie be? 10 words.
Jesus.
There was never a movie. What movie would it be, and why?
Haunting Jizz.
The Smudge Haunting Jizz. That's
the Smudge is the name of the movie. And the under credit, the under description of it is Haunting Jizz.
And what's that a spoof of?
The Grudge. It's the Smudge.
Oy.
No?
Skippy Green Show.
That was awesome, honey. The Smudge.
Well, the thing was, is I know that, the cock ring and all these other kind of things have been taken, so I didn't want to say any of that else.
Just listen for the little flower kid at the beginning of the parade. It says, it's a leaf man, and that's most...
The Smudge.
The Smudge.
Haunting Jizz.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to this kind of insightful episode about fears and Allison and my fears. And, of course, go see Epic, guys. It's out there now. Go look for the little flower with the blue petals who says, it's the leaf men.
Was it blue petals?
You said it was blue petals.
Did I say it was blue petals?
Just listen for the little flower kid at the beginning of the parade who says, it's the leaf men, and that's most likely Allison Weber. And see her name in the credits. And remember, she gets a little residual from that, so help support us.
Oh, no. I get the residual only upon the sale. So go buy it when it comes out.
Go buy it when it comes
in
out,
in 6 months
folks.
Or whatever.
And talking about buying things, my new CD, Concierge, is now available on iTunes. So you can go to iTunes and search Flip Schultz and get any one of my 5 CDs and other merchandise, fun stuff. Skippy Green CD, Lick My Balls, is also available on iTunes. And Allison's website...
DirtyGuitarGirl.com, of which you can buy my new CD.
There you go.
So I wrote a song about it.
That's so true, baby doll.
Yeah.
And tour dates coming up. If you listen to this week, which is the week of May, this is the 28th when this is coming up. So this weekend I will be at headlining Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank at the Yoo-Hoo Room. Friday, Saturday, 7:30, 9:30 shows. Allison, I think you're on the...
I'm on the June 1st show.
The June 1st at Saturday, I think, 7:30 show.
Mm-hmm.
So you can come see both of us there.
We also both are going to be at the Comedy Store on the Big Mike show.
Oh, that's right, on May 30th.
May 30th.
This Thursday.
The main room. Yeah, that's so, at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, a bunch of shows this week. And to all my friends across the sea in Scandinavia, Sweden specifically, there is talk about me coming back in 2014. So keep listening to the show and go to the website for details about that. As always, guys, thank you so much. Thank you for listening to this monumental 60th episode of the show. My God. And next week should be fun. Our guest will be John DiResta, very funny comedian and
love
a good
him.
Friend of mine, and Allison's too. So we'll see you guys next week. Thank you again for all the love, all the support.
Love you guys.
And we will see you then. Bye-bye.
It's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds. Talking about what's ever on their minds.